time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's March 14th. I am at the ICE Mortgage Experience 2022 conference in Las Vegas. I'm actually with Lender Toolkit, one of our sponsors. Very excited about that. Their event is starting today, but you can go check out their booth at booth number 627. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. And you're going to be hearing some real timely information because in a Hot Topic segment, we have Joe Wellew, the founder and CEO of Total Expert, as our Hot Topic guest. I pre-recorded this interview just before I left for the conference. In the podcast, he announced a new release of their product. You'll not want to miss this upcoming interview in the Hot Topic segment. Special thank you goes out to Industry Syndicate. Check out all the podcasts at industrysyndicate.com. They promote our podcast as well as some of the top leading podcasts in the nation. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Finastra, Fusion Mortgage Bot Solution. Experience the power of a fully integrated approach to mortgage lending that simplifies the borrowing experience and streamlines the process for employees. Listen to Karen Jenkins' interview that I did on the October 4th of last year, as well as last week's interview with Chris Zingo. Great interview, and I'm so thrilled to have them as sponsors. Also, Lender One. We were just this last week at the Lenders One conference in Phoenix. It was great, well attended, and there was so much information. We're going to be bringing the presenters there on an upcoming podcast here in the just future. There's so much going on. Also, we have the Mortgage Collaborative, TMC, and we got TMC Miami Nights Conference coming up March 19th through the 22nd. I'll be there. Go back and listen to the interview with Rich Zerbinski on February 7th that I did. We'll be talking a little bit about the conference and what's going on there. And also, we have Total Expert as a sponsor. Thank you. You're going to hear more about them in the Hot Topic segment. That is a really interesting interview. I'll say a shout out to Knowledge Coop as a sponsor. They do a great job as a learning management system. Check out their new release. It's coming out April 1st. To get on the announcements on when that is being released and the information about that, go to trythecoop.com. Comparing the team, got some new stuff coming up. It is really cool. Also, Mobility MMI, Mortgage Market Intelligence, and Modic, both of these sponsors do a great job of helping you recruit top LOs and giving you intelligence about what goes on in the market. Be sure to check these companies out. Also, we're thrilled to have SnapDocs as a sponsor. They help lenders overcome obstacles to adopting e-mortgage technology. SnapDocs is now offering the e-mortgage quick start program. Check them out on our sponsor page. Also, SuccessKit. I love what Julian Lumpkin and the group are doing. Check out the interview we did with Julian January 10th. In 2022, think about it. If people won't buy a $5 dog toy on Amazon without reading reviews, why would prospects wanting a mortgage or buying mortgage technology do any less? They're checking out reviews, and SuccessKit can help create reviews for you, and they do it in a fashion that is, I can't begin to tell you how successful it has been for us. Check out SuccessKit.io. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Lender Toolkit. We're again at the Lender Toolkit Pre-Experience 2022 event. Also, we want to thank our sponsor, PennyMac, TPO. Go back and listen to the interview with Kim Nichols on November 1st, 2021. Also, I want to say thank you to FormFree. So thrilled with their partnership. Go back and listen to last week's podcast with Brent Chandler of FormFree and Kevin Kaufman with Freddie Mac. Very interesting interview, and you won't want to miss that. And then finally, special thank you goes out to Debbie Wemus at the DW Consulting Group, helping people with their LinkedIn profiles. And finally, I want to say a special thank you to Rob, Les, Alice, Alan, Matt, and my good buddy, Jack Nuttery, who's going to take over the podcast for me at this point. Thanks, Jack, for co-hosting this while I'm in Las Vegas driving some Ferraris around the track. Jack, it's all yours. Take it away.
Thank you, David. And stay safe driving $400,000 automobiles around the racetrack. Don't want to drag one of them down the guardrail. Our first segment is Rob Van Rapphorst and the NBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Late last week, President Biden signed a $1.5 trillion fiscal year 2022 appropriations bill. It includes robust funding for the U.S. Department of HUD and several wins for the industry. Specifically, MBA prevented the inclusion of an FHA administrative fee by securing appropriated funds for FHA technology upgrades. Also, the bill includes the MBA-supported LIBOR Act of 2021, which provides clear guidance and a consistent federal standard for determining a replacement benchmark rate for the London Interbank Offered Rate, including for tough legacy contracts. An MBA Technology Solutions Conference is happening April 11th through the 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada. To register, go to mba.org/conferences. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for the update, Rob. Everybody, look, the NBA is your voice on the Hill. They're an important lobbying group for our industry. Partnership is sorely needed, and we appreciate everything the NBA does for us, Rob. Next up is Les Parker's segment. This should be interesting with the volatility that we see in the marketplace. Les, take it away.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy. Who should have known? He'd bomb them farewell. There's a lesson EU learned from this, and they learned it very well. Who cleans up the avoidable Russian mess to avoid nukes and bioweapons? China, Germany, and France will strike a deal soon. At least that's the way oil and gold see it. Everyone pays the price for stupidity and hubris. Putin will get what he wanted before the invasion. A NATO-free buffer from the West and more land. Meanwhile, the Fed no longer buys mortgage-backed securities except to replace runoff and soon raise rates. So the dueling dramas continue. If the worst is over soon, the morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. These views are my own. Follow the bouncing ball at tmspotlight.com.
Alice Alvey. So I'm just going to jump in real quick here to introduce Matt Graham with our mortgage update. Matt is founder and CEO of MBS Live. And take it away, Matt.
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live market update. Bonds are not very happy over the past few weeks, and they continue to be stuck in a situation where no matter what the news is, it's had a negative implication. We talked a little bit about this last week with respect to oil prices specifically, and the interconnection with the Ukraine war. So early in the war, when tensions flared, it was good for bonds and good for oil prices. That was sort of the flight to safety, if you will. Oil doesn't normally move up in a flight to safety, but with there being supply considerations surrounding Russia and Ukraine, specifically Russia and sanctions and whatnot, then in this case, it did put upward pressure on oil prices. At first, that wasn't too big of a deal for the bond market, but as of the beginning of last week, with the big spike up to temporarily $130 per barrel, it sort of changed the narrative for bonds, or at least it evolved the narrative in such a way that oil price spikes were now too high to really ignore from an inflation implication standpoint. Ever since then, yields have moved higher in an incredibly linear fashion, regardless of fluctuations in oil prices. There are a couple reasons for this. They include big supply in the bond market. This has come both from Treasury issuance as well as corporate bond issuance. But also, it's a matter of inflation implications playing out and the fact that that spike in oil prices is going to send shockwaves throughout the economy in terms of inflation. There are also other commodities that are in play, such as wheat and nickel and other precious metals that have experienced a similar sort of spike. And even if the Russia-Ukraine war were to end today, those price spikes will still eventually end up hitting consumer prices. And of course, they're definitely already hitting consumer prices at the gas pump. Doesn't that downward pressure on the domestic economy? Yes, to some extent that is the case. And it just isn't enough to offset the inflation implication and the motivation that that carries for the Federal Reserve. Speaking of that, this week brings the big Fed announcement where they will hike rates for the first time since COVID, well, since 2018. And that is a foregone conclusion that it will be a 25 basis point hike. If they want rates at 75 BIP level or a 0.5 to 0.75 level, they would do that by hiking both at this meeting and the next meeting, as opposed to doing a 50 BIP hike at this week's meeting. We also get an updated dot plot that will let us know what the outlook is like for Fed rate hikes from every Fed member. And we'll get a press conference with Fed Chair Powell, where he'll get to address yet again, as he did 2 weeks ago in the congressional testimony, how the Fed is reconciling the disparate impact from the global economic hit associated with the Ukraine war and the inflation impact associated with the Ukraine war. Fed funds futures are as bearish as they've been. They have the highest rate hike outlook they've had in this cycle. And that just happened on Friday and through this morning. And when we look at Fed funds futures, they're now suggesting a Fed funds rate of 1.75% by the end of the year. So that is quite a few 25 basis point hikes between now and then, considering there are only 8 meetings in a year. And those rate hike expectations weigh heavily across the entire yield curve, but especially on the front end of the yield curve. We are at our narrowest levels in quite some time, with twos versus tens only 28.5 bips. In other news coming up this week, we have producer prices tomorrow. Not as big of a market move as consumer prices, but still a consideration. Retail sales on Wednesday, focused on that day, will really be on the Fed. Retail sales kind of don't have as much importance as normal in this environment. Thursday, it brings the Bank of England announcement, and any major central bank announcement right now is in play as a market mover for the domestic bond market. Philly Fed at 8:30, jobless claims as well, and then on Friday, existing home sales at 10 a.m. That's expected to continue over 6 million units a year, annual pace, but to decline from the previous reading of 6.5 million. That's going to do it for this week. Back to you.
Thanks, Matt, for that great report. Lots going on in the markets today. So for me, I'm going to be keeping things pretty short. You already heard from Rob that he brought up about the $1.5 trillion omnibus appropriations bill that was good news for the industry, and that we won't be looking for any kind of a fee increase coming out of FHA since they got the money that they need through this funding bill. So that's great news. HUD definitely needs some funds to go towards their technology infrastructure upgrades. And we look forward to seeing how that money is going to get used going forward. Another point I want to make sure everyone's watching a little bit. We've talked in the past about the Vantage Score. We've had folks from the company here. We've got some great things you can go back and listen to on previous podcasts about the Vantage Score. And back in 2014, there was a bill that required Fannie and Freddie to set up processes to review alternate credit score models. So this has been long time in the making. How does this work? What does it look like? Because we all know how embedded the FICO score is into everything that we do. And so for those of you who may not recall, the Vantage Score is really a joint effort between Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You can read all about it at VantageScore.com. So Vantage Score is advocating that lenders would get to choose which score that they would use during the origination process at that early stage of the game. They do have some data that shows that for certain borrowers, their scoring model actually may help more borrowers become eligible for home ownership. So that's certainly something that we're all interested in as an industry, but it would be really difficult to figure out when would we use that and how would pricing be impacted. And if you think about everything from application all the way through secondary and investors who all currently have everything built to work around the FICO score, including everything down to pricing, we really would have a big shift in the market to try and figure out how to fold in a second credit score model. So this was really a hearing last week that was held by FIFA to talk through how each of the main entities involved, stakeholders involved, feel about this process. What are some concerns that folks have? What are some options that they feel that should be considered? So definitely the National Association of Realtors, many top lenders, banks, credit unions, everybody's represented at that table. It really boils down to that so many feel there needs to be a single score model, that we start with the existing FICO, and perhaps there's some type of a waterfall or alternative process where the Vantage credit score model could be used in the event that it might help more borrowers. So this was just putting everything on the table, trying to figure out what next steps there may be. Lots of work to be done before any real changes are made. As it is, this is just the agency trying to go, okay, we've put a stake in the ground that we've at least started the discussions, and we're starting the review process as required by the legislation. So nothing else at this time other than that, and I will turn it back to Alan. Was able to get on the line.
I am here, Alice. Happy Monday.
All right. Take it away.
Sounds great. Hi, everyone. Happy Monday. As David would say, TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. I've got a number of interesting things to talk about. Today, we're going to focus on cool technology and golf. We have the players, the TPC Sawgrass Players Championship in my neighborhood this week. It was rained out the first day, then we had crazy storms come in. It was delayed two times. Then we wound up having extreme cold and high winds, and they had to push everything out. And final day today, Monday, they're squeezing in part of round three and then all of round four, which should have finished up yesterday. What's amazing, though, is the technology that they use for golf. If you had a chance to watch either this tournament or many others, there really is some interesting technology that's used to show where the balls are striking. They show percentages. They show numbers. There's a company that does that. It's called 2K21, and they have mapping technology, and it takes them many, many weeks, if not months, to actually be able to get the teradata for the ground and satellite imagery and then to map on top of that all of this other technology that they have. If you're interested to learn more about it, you can just Google 2K21 PGA Golf. But the stats, the analytics, those are the types of things that we should be doing in our industry. And I'm going to come back to stats and analytics in just a moment when we talk about what's going on at Wells Fargo and a report that says that they've denied nearly half of all black refinance applications in 2020. Before I do, let's talk cool tech for a second. So there's electric bike craze, and the joke's more for David. Alice, you're more than welcome, or Jack, to laugh if you'd like. But the electric bike craze, it's off the chain. No, really, it's on the chain, but and I guess it's my own kind of dad joke. But anyways, the point about it is that the millennials, right, looking at their interests and looking at the things that drive our customers in this market, they're into these things. They're into electric bikes. The electric bike craze has taken off at such unbelievable rocket ship type of numbers. One company alone, this company called Electric. So it's like the word electric, but you take the E off, just L-E-C-T-R-I-C. They've had over 500 to 1,000% growth in the last 12 to 24 months. They had over 20,000 orders for electric bikes in the last 12 months. I mention this because as you look at ways in this market to capture customers, it may be that electric bikes are part of your marketing efforts and marketing campaign. But check it out. That's cool tech. The other thing is a website. Listen to this. It's called importyeti.com. That's importyeti.com. And this website will show you all of the manufacturers that a company uses. So if you were to go and you were to take a look at a product, and you can search thousands and thousands of products on this website, it'll immediately come and tell you who all the manufacturers are that made up that product that was able to be sold. So depending on your interest, you may want to check that out, but it is quite interesting nonetheless. Let's talk about what's going on at Wells Fargo. So there's a report right now. You can see it in Housing Wire. I call it data to the rescue, ? Because that's the topic of why I'm bringing this up. But they're saying Wells denied nearly half of all black refinance applications in 2020. And it's stating this, that Bloomberg actually is the article, but it was mentioned in Housing Wire. They're saying that almost three quarters of all of those applicants were sent in by white people. And they're showing that Wells was below industry averages of 47% when it came to refinance applications by black homeowners, which were approved at 71% of the time by other lenders. So Wells clearly is below the trend, extremely low below the trend. And they're saying in other demographic groups, the analysis also showed that they approved 67% of requests by Asian homeowners and 53% by Hispanic. So what's really interesting about this is, one is, how can you avoid being in this situation? It's really, and I say it's simple, right? It's not simple, but conversationally, it's really simple because you just need to make sure that you're looking at the data. You have to look at the areas that you're lending. You have to look at the demographics. You have to look at your trend. You have to benchmark the industry. This is where data folks really come into play. This is where data scientists come into play. You don't have to have those folks on your own staff. You can have them at partner companies, and there's other ways to look at these analytics, but that's information you want to be looking at. You always want to look at your fair lending risk, right? For those of you building web applications on the front end for borrowers, think about it. You're focused on, are you taking all the components of data to make this application a RESPA event, right? But are you looking at the data to understand who you're lending to? And are you lending fairly to those folks? So anyways, Wells is a big name. They're going to be in the news. It doesn't mean that you won't have the same type of question come up, but use data, leverage analytics, and put that information together. There's a lot of partners in our industry that are out there that want to help with that data, and a lot of folks out there that have the expertise, the data scientists that you can bring on board, contract or a full-time basis, to start looking at your data. So I just wanted to mention that today. Make sure you take a look at that. Next week, Alice and Jack, I am going to talk about this craze called Wordle that the New York Times bought from one little software engineer in Brooklyn, New York. It is the simplest, the absolute simplest website. It's a game. It's a craze that the millennials are driving, but it talks about how keep it simple, stupid, K-I-S-S, our technology can be moving forward. For those of you at the ICE Experience 2022, have fun partnering, have fun selling your technology, have fun buying technology, and then we'll also talk about inflation-resistant technology next week. Thanks for listening and looking forward to the hot topic. Alice, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here, but I think we're good to go. And for those of you who are going to listen on a downloaded basis, you'll be able to pick up the pre-recorded segment of the special hot topic this week. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, I'm excited to have Joe Wellew here with us. He's the founder and CEO of Total Expert, the fintech software leader that launched the first customer experience platform purpose-built, those are key words, purpose-built for modern financial institutions. The question is, are you modern or wanting to be? You're going to want to listen to this interview today. And since 2015, Joe has led Total Expert's vision on culture and growth and has now over 300 employees today. The company powers CRM, marketing, and customer engagement for nearly 175 companies, 15 of which are of the top 25 U.S. banks and lenders in our nation. Total Expert's growth has skyrocketed since its inception. In 2020 alone, it ranked number 17 on Inc.'s 5,000 most successful companies in the Midwest and number 3 in the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal's 2020 fastest 50 companies and number 82 in the Deloitte Tech Fast 500. Very excited to have Joe here with us. Joe, I am so excited to have the honor of having a fintech expert leading company, both as a sponsor and on the podcast. Joe, welcome to the Lickin' on Lending podcast.
Oh, thanks, David. Appreciate the opportunity, and it's great to finally meet you, and great to be here.
Your company's so famous, but maybe there's some people out there, and you're well-known, certainly, but there's some people that may not know you and your background, so let's let our audience get to know you a little bit. Who are you and what's your background and what led you to launch and start Total Expert?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So I grew up in the Midwest, a very blue collar upbringing, and started selling real estate after college. And it was in the basement of my real estate office that I started incubating the first version of Total Expert. And the focus was really around, we did not see technology that was really purpose-built for the industry, right? We saw a lot of people from Silicon Valley bringing in technology, but didn't really deeply understand the customer journey. They didn't understand how important relationships are in the home lending space. And we were looking for ways to just enable that. And naively started thinking, well, this can't be that hard. And so that was how I got started and then been very fortunate to find some amazing customers that have helped us evolve the company.
Good number of customers. You have over 300 employees, over 175 companies, including 15 of the top 25 U.S. banks and lenders. I mean, that's impressive how much traction you've gotten on this journey. Joe, one of the things I want to talk about is how we've witnessed such a significant shift in the market, and it's shifting even more quickly with rates rising and refinances decreasing. What is the opportunity for lenders this year that, from your perspective and
vantage point?
Well, certainly it's not the first time we've seen this movie before. And the industry, it's a cyclical industry, right? And we're in a time of contraction. But what I believe fundamentally, David, and I've seen this from my experiences, these are tremendous opportunities for the organizations that really lean into growth, have a growth mindset, number one, and lean into these times as an opportunity to grow their market share. Right. And so with everything going on, the reality is there's still a tremendous purchase environment out there. So lenders that have the chops to go out and build the referral relationships, there's a tremendous purchase environment that I think from what I hear is going to hopefully inventory problems will start getting slowly better. But then also we've got this incredible amount of home equity that has been built up over the last couple of years, really unprecedented levels. We see organizations that are really leaning into how can we get smarter about using data, technology, plus our tremendous people, bringing those things together to then capitalize on this type of a market and grow are going to win.
Absolutely. You have a unique vantage point. Having 15 of the top 25 U.S. banks and lenders already as customers, you are seeing what successful companies are already doing. And that's really where I want to go next is watching these top lenders leverage the data, the insights to impact their business. What are some things that you could share with our listeners that you've observed, Joe?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to partner with so many of these great companies. And I do get the unique opportunity to have a lot of executive management conversations on strategy and how we're going to attack it. And what I see is really a theme in all top organizations is they recognize that number one, it's a data arms race right now. Right? Meaning I have to get really, really smart using data and insights. And then I have to be able to get even smarter about using those things to enable my people to be more productive, right? So how can I use data and insights to create, surface more opportunities for deals and then optimize really that customer journey to maximize pull through, right? So an example would be the last couple of years, even the big, well-run organizations that are typically really optimized had so much business coming in that it was sort of accepted that deals would kind of fall through the cracks and hit the trash can. And so right now, what I see the best companies doing is they're saying, wait a second, even though volumes are down holistically, we've still got these amazing opportunities for growth if we just optimize our current customer journey and plug the holes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we see them doing a lot of that. And the two big levers that we spend a lot of our time on is that lead to close, which it's wrought with a lot of scenarios where those leads fall through the cracks. People forget you've got loan officers that are sales-driven creatures. They're maybe great if they're a right now opportunity, but if they're a 6-9 month buying cycle, they're not as great at that. So how can you put systems around them to make them better versions of themselves? So we see great organizations really leaning into that. And then world-class lenders, world-class organizations and brands in general, I think, really value very, very deeply that long-term customer relationship. So it is truly, how do I build a lifelong relationship with every single customer? And they approach it that way. And then they really put systems and processes in place to enable their people to execute on that.
Yeah, I really got that when I recently had a demo of your product as a new sponsor to the podcast. I love getting to know our sponsors. I love to know what you do. And it was really interesting how you use the data and the insights to really positively impact business. And you also, therefore, seeing a lot of best practices that are out there. And how are some lenders capitalizing on the cash out refinance?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And one of the biggest opportunities this year in this market is really understanding that so many of your past customers, even though they might not benefit from lowering a rate, they can still benefit in many cases from leveraging that equity that is increased tremendously, obviously, as we know. And so what a lot of our lenders are doing and what we're actually doing at Total Expert is bringing those data points together around property value, comparing that to amortization schedules, loan amounts, and then identifying the people that have peak amounts of equity or great amounts of equity above certain thresholds. And then also then comparing that to their financial profile. We have relationships now directly with credit bureaus to where we're able to then tap into data sets that help you get a much more comprehensive profile around a customer. And if you can bring those data points together, meaning I know how much equity you have, I know what a new payment would be, and I know how much revolving debt you have, I can put out very specific personalized offers to those customers that are going to have a very high conversion. And we're seeing lenders starting to execute on that. And we've got a lot of the building blocks technology-wise in place to help automate that.
Yeah, you really have some wonderful building blocks. Again, I encourage anyone listening to this podcast, if you have not received a demo, just go out there, find out what the company's leaders are doing like this. It's really insightful. When you look at the market, what are some of the biggest opportunities today's market for lenders to grow their relationships with current borrowers, but also establishing the relationship with new borrowers who will be purchasing their first time home, hopefully in 2022?
So I think at a basic level, we always think about it in strategy sessions with lenders is you've really got three words that you want to remember if you want to expand relationships, add new relationships. And that is, if you think about traditionally, we've traditionally marketed based on a transaction, right? So we've thought about each borrower, customer, maybe not intentionally, but it was really a transactional approach, meaning I put out a rate, I put out a product flyer, I bring that person in, I close a loan, I go on to the next one, right?
Right.
So now we're seeing lenders that are focusing on three things, and that is educate, engage, and advise, right?
Yep.
So wherever I'm at, if it's a current customer or possible customer, past customer, I need to be able to educate them on what's going on in the markets. Also, what are products that can be helpful and impactful for them at this point in time, right? So educating them on ARMs and first-time homebuyer opportunities if they're there, and the fact that you don't need 20% down, all of those are education opportunities.
Yes.
And then I move over to the engage part, right? So if you think about the quality of all relationships are heavily tied to the quality of your communication and engagement. So are you able then to facilitate really good, strong communication with your customers and prospects across multiple channels? Are you able to do that at scale? The only way to do that really is combining the people with the tech. And then are you in a position to where you have the data assembled, you have a comprehensive profile, you understand equity, you understand if they just put their home on the market, you understand if they're shopping for a mortgage with your competitor, right? You're understanding all of those things so that you can reach out and advise them on how to make a great financial decision and how you can help them make a better financial decision around a specific type of loan. So educate, engage, advise.
I love that. How does the technology actually enable that process? Give me some examples of how you actually do that. I saw it, but I want you to articulate.
Yeah. So in a simplest form, if you think about the core of our platform is what we call intelligent automation. Okay. Traditional automation in the lending space, it's very linear, meaning if you do this, then this happens and it's a straight line, right? It's timed series of activities that fire out messages. An example would be a drip campaign. Every 7 days, you're going to get a message, or every third day, whatever it is, right? Intelligent automation is looking at data that we have on you as a customer that you've told us, and then also pairing that with third-party data, such as credit bureau data, property value data, and then altering the customer journey, altering how we're engaging with you, what we're talking to you about, when we're reaching out based on that information. So, and we're also then further adjusting that based on how you respond. So that's in essence, if you think about like the ability to deliver the perfect customer journey. That's what Total Expert does through technology. And we do that by bringing in data, being an intelligent platform that then can then change directions on how you're interacting with that customer. So you're delivering to them that best possible scenario every time.
And I think one of the things you hit on first was the educate part, because we're seeing with the millennials, they want to be educated first. And I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people do, say, I want to talk to you, millennial. And they go, that's not our style. And we've better make some adjustments on that. So when you look at the behavior of these millennials, these first-time home buyers, all the studies seem to indicate, Joe, that they want to first be educated before they start talking to somebody, and then they're going to be at some point ready to engage. How does Total Expert support that process of the new first-time millennial home buyer?
Yeah, so very simply, number one, first of all, by having a comprehensive financial profile of every customer, you have to understand, first of all, that you have a millennial in place, right?
Yep.
And then being able to have a specific set of touch points, specific types of content and communication that can be sent out to that particular millennial. And then we're watching for how they're engaging, right? Mm-hmm. Do they open an email? They love knowledge, as you mentioned. Right? They love to be educated. So how do I know if I'm educating them? How do I know if I'm delivering them valuable content about the process, whatever, right? Well, you can see if they're opening an email, right?
Joe, we know that technology alone is not going to drive results for lenders. I mean, it's just a fact that technology is a great enabler, but it's not the single driving point. How can lenders listening to this interview support loan officers' productivity, build internal buy-in around the new technology and its value?
Yeah. So first of all, I think it's really critically important to be super clear with the sales organization that we know fundamentally this is a relationship business. The consumer values the advisor. They value expertise. The studies have shown it. We've seen a lot of organizations that have tried to say, we're going to completely and utterly bypass the human connection, the human interaction, the advice part of the transaction. And I was on a call with a quote unquote fintech lender that does mortgage lending on the home equity side. And we were talking about their business model and the fact that they realized that actually to convert the customer, they needed to have a human being that could actually answer questions when it came time to actually go forward and actually sign in the dotted line, right? So it's a human business. And I think acknowledging that with your sales organization is absolutely critical. And then it's really about what is in it for them and how are you going to make them more productive? The old way of thinking, I have hundreds and maybe even 1,000 conversations with executives over the last 5-6 years around, well, we want to make sure they're going to get in and use it. Okay. Wrong way to think about it. What you want to think about it is, what are we going to do to automatically enable surface to the top of their inbox, make their life easier every day, show them opportunities, put opportunities in front of them with what they need to say to this customer based on that opportunity was just surfaced as, hey, this is somebody you should talk to. Here's why. Here's what you should say. That's how you get buy-in, is showing how you're going to deliver value. And I think fundamentally as a business, if you're in the lending business, you're in the relationship and the people business, and having technology that enables you to do a better job at that, which is so much of our focus, is bringing together the tech and the human, is really where the magic can come together.
A little bit ago, when you were responding to one of my earlier questions, you talked about how you work with lenders on what I think I heard you say is strategy sessions. Clearly, because of your unique position in the market, again, having the number of customers that you do at some of the top customers, talk about those strategy sessions. I've always advocated, whether it be a warehouse line investor, find a partner that'll help you with your strategy. That really leaped out at me. Talk about that.
Yeah. So it's a weekly exercise for me. And sometimes I'm on the phone with the CEO or the C-suite, and we're just having a conversation about the opportunities in the market and then about how to best attack those opportunities, right? But ultimately, it's really understanding the first part of my job and our job as a partner. And we don't even really think about it as we're just in selling a technology. We're selling a partnership, and we're selling the ability to drive business outcomes. And if we don't focus on that, we're not going to build a valuable organization. So the strategy is a precursor before you buy technology or before you start a new project, understanding really what do you want to accomplish and what are the methods to accomplish that? And then what's the most efficient path? And so a specific example would be really the optimization and optimizing the customer journey. All of the lenders listening and all the lenders out there, they have all of these systems. They've got point of sale systems. They've got a mobile app maybe for a point of sale. They've got their LOS. They've got back office, front office. They've got all of these email systems in some cases. How do all of those things come together? And then at each one of those moments, how do you deliver really the things that will move the needle? Right? So the things that are actually going to help close a transaction. So it's really outlining kind of that customer journey, how it goes through your current technology stack, where data is available, where it's not available. And I think the fastest path to excellence is finding opportunities where you can make fast progress, right?
Yeah.
So I was on the phone yesterday with a top bank who's in the mortgage lending space. And we said, look, what's the lightest weight thing that we can do in terms of IT lift? What's the lightest weight project management lift, but the highest impact? And we identified one specific customer journey that would drive deal flow that we broke it down into that slice. And then we're approaching that relationship saying, let's just nail this part of the customer journey, this scenario. Let's use some data to enable this journey to deliver opportunities to your people and create new deals. And if we solve that, we're going to get impact in the business and then we can go to step two.
I love the fact that you stay engaged with the customer. It's not just sell them and then turn it on and let them start using the product. You stay engaged with strategy, giving them insights, what others are doing to help them grow their business. Joe, you and I are both at the ICE Mortgage Experience 22. And if I hear the rumors correctly, you got some announcements coming up. Can you share those with us on the podcast?
So we do have a pretty big announcement coming out. Not a secret to some, but we are announcing our customer intelligence offering and what we believe is a really best-in-class, industry-leading customer journey platform that allows you to orchestrate a customer journey from lead to customer for life. And so what we've done is we're building in key insights. We're calling this product offering, as I mentioned, customer intelligence, that actually do things like I'm going to surface an opportunity where a borrower has a certain amount of equity. I'm going to surface an opportunity when they're in the market shopping. I'm going to surface an opportunity when their house goes on the market. And not only are we surfacing the opportunity, but the entire best practice, the workflow, the orchestration around the things that should happen to capitalize on that opportunity is a part of that. So we're pretty excited about it. It's a natural evolution of our platform. And we just believe that the ability to use data and insights to drive the business is critically important. So it was a natural progression for us.
It's a game changer, especially when we're looking at how can we use technology to drive business. And you talked about earlier, it's not the single driver. There's a lot of it. But boy, when you have the right technology, it can be a great, great enabler. I love that. I'm excited to see a demo product.
Thank you. We've had a lot of great feedback from customers and people have used data and insights in certain ways, but it's really pairing that with the intelligent automation that really makes it special and allows you to really create those business outcomes and new deal flow.
That's very exciting. Joe, I appreciate you taking time out of a very busy schedule to be here with us. You are a total expert, especially in the area of what you're doing and providing as intelligence and data and insights to lenders. Congratulations on your success. Kind of feeling you're going to be having a lot more success. Looking forward to being with you on the ride.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Folks, we've had as our guest, Joe Wello. He is the founder and CEO of Total Expert, a fintech software company that's a leader in the marketplace. Again, their CRM customer engagement product is helping already 175 companies, and that includes 15 of the top 25 U.S. banks and lenders. Be sure to check them out at TotalExpert.com. Listeners, I encourage you to click on the link in the show notes below to learn more. Thank you for listening. Good to have you with us, everybody.
Say a special thank you to all of our sponsors, Finastra, Lenders One, Mobility, MMI, Modex, the MBA, Knowledge Coop, the Mortgage Cooperative, SnapDoc, Success Kit, Lender Toolkit, PennyMac, Total Expert, and Forum Free. Have a great week, everybody. Forward to seeing you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.